بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
Produced and distributed by Knowledge, Books and Audio.
The first instance that we find whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word jahiliyyah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the concept of belief. أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْخُونَ. And this is all a discussion talking about the Jews and the Christians. And then referring that, are you going to take the judgments of jahiliyyah? Are you going to govern by them? So this verse may be specific towards them. But as for its understanding and implementation, it falls true today. Anybody who turns away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following jahiliyyah, is following ignorance. Either you follow the haqq, the truth,
or you follow ignorance.
But don't come into al-Islam and then return back to kufr, because the deen of al-Islam is not a game. It's not a joke.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'du, fa inna asdaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khayrul hadyi hadyu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin fin nar. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani.
We come to the chapter discussing about various terminologies that we find which are placed at various locations, whether within the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we want to explain these terminologies that we find and the correct understanding of these words that we find. The first word that we find is al-jahiliyyah. The word al-jahiliyyah, and here we find that this is كانت هي الحال التي كانت عليها العرب قبل الإسلام. This is the affair, the situation of the Arabs before the coming of al-Islam, because of the ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because of the ignorance of the symbols of the religion, of the deen, وَالْمُفَاخَرَةَ بِالْأَنْسَابِ, and their boasting about their lineage. وَالْكِبْرِ, their arrogance, وَالْتَجَبُّرِ, and the throwing of their weight, or the imposing of their views. It all considered the previous times of jahiliyyah. نِسْبَةٌ إِلَى الْجَهَلِ الَّذِي هُوَ عَدْمُ الْعِلْمِ أَوْ عَدْمُ اتِّبَاعِ الْعِلْمِ. All of these affairs, the pre-Islamic time, is either these people implemented all of this because they had no knowledge, or because they had knowledge, but they did not follow that knowledge. So a person is ignorant if they don't have knowledge, and at the same time ignorant if they have the knowledge and they do not follow or fulfill that which they are supposed to do. وَقَالَ الشَّيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ بِنْ تَيْمِيَةِ. Ibn Taymiyyah, he highlighted, فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمُ الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ جَاهِلًا بَصِيطًا. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he highlights, فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمُ الْحَقِّ. Whoever doesn't know the truth, فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Indeed, he is ignorant. جَهْلًا بَسِيطًا. And this is a simple form of ignorance. That if somebody is ignorant, that's a form of simple ignorance, which is possibly acceptable. And if a person believes the opposite to the haqq, to the truth, فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ جَهْلًا مُرَكَّبًا, then he is a compounded ignorant. Meaning he is upon ignorance. That if a person knows a reality, knows something to be truth, or knows something which they have to do, and they do not implement that, then that is a form of ignorance which is much more blameworthy than a person who simply does not know. فَإِنْ قَالَ خِلَافُ الْحَقِّ عَالِمًا بِالْحَقِّ أَوْ خَيْرَ عَالِمٍ فَهُوَ جَاهِلْ أَيْضًا. If a person who has knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, and if they speak against the truth, then as far as we are concerned, that individual is jahil, is an ignorant one. Whether you know the truth or you don't know the truth, and even more so, if you know the truth and you speak against the truth, then you are classified as an ignorant individual. وَكَذَٰلِكَ كُلُّ مَا يُخَالِفْ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And everything that goes against the way of the messengers, whether it be Yahudiya wa Nasraniya, فَهُوَ جَاهِلِيَّ. وَتِلْكَ كَانَتِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْعَامَّةِ. All the ways of Christianity and Judaism, this is all ways of jahiliya, of ignorance, for a person to return back to these forms or to look at these forms of legislations which existed before. And this is a general form of ignorance that we find. So a person could be in a state of ignorance before Qabla and Yuslim, or before a person submits or becomes a Muslim, he is classified as an ignorant individual. He's a jahil. Even if he lives in a Muslim surrounding. And likewise, we find that the ulama want to highlight here that total ignorance does not exist. Because after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no more complete ignorance. There can only be specific ignorance that can exist of a specific individual or a person who doesn't know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in the general sense, there is no concept of total ignorance anymore that existed before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that this type of jahiliyyah that we find, this general jahiliyyah, because many people refuse to use this word and say that this word is unacceptable and should only be referring to those aspects which existed before the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to prove this theory wrong from the verses of the Quran, that people who believe that to use the word jahiliyyah is incorrect. The first instance that we find whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word jahiliyyah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the concept of belief. أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter of the Quran, verse number 50. أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. And this is all a discussion talking about the Jews and the Christians. And then referring that, are you going to take the judgments of jahiliyyah? Are you going to govern by them? So this verse may be specific towards them. But as for its understanding and implementation, it falls true today. Anybody who turns away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following jahiliyyah, is following ignorance. Either you follow the haqq, the truth, or you follow ignorance. So whenever you turn away from the sharia, أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ, are you seeking the governance of ignorance, of returning back to the pre-Islamic era, or returning back to the days of darkness, or returning back to ignorance? Because Islam is the light. So this is the first evidence that there is no harm in using the word jahiliyyah. When every time people turn away from the sharia, or the governance of the sharia, these people are following none other than the ways of the people of jahiliyyah as before. Another occasion that we find is talking about dress. How a woman should dress herself. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّدِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Remain in your homes. Remain stagnant inside your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّدِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And don't come out exploiting or showing your beauty like the days of ignorance. Now this is referring back to the way that the women used to dress at that time of the Arabs. وَبِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. To these people who refuse to use the word jahiliyyah, what are women doing today? Are they not coming out in the way of showing their beauty and their ornaments and their bodily structures? They are not doing that again today. So that is none other than the ways of Jahiliyyah. So when people say you can't use this word no more, then this is evidence from the Quran that a woman who exposes herself, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, remain stagnant in your homes, remain within your four walls. And if you do come out, don't come out the way of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance, of pre-Islamic era, which has become paramount in our society at the moment. That even those people who come out inside the veil, they fail to understand what is the veil, what is the hijab, making up their own forms and understandings of the veil at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it inside the Quran, and in greater definition has been given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third use of Jahiliyyah that we find is in one's character. As we find inside the Quran, إِذَا جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَّةَ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, that the people who disbelieve, inside their heart is a heat, and a heat of ignorance. حَمِيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. When does that come out of an individual? Once again, every time an individual becomes angry or something bothers them, then you find that the essence of the individual comes out. And some ulama who talk about psychology, etc., they highlight in a state of anger, your true nature comes out. There are some people when they get angry, they behave like a wild animal, in throwing and shouting and screaming, whatever it does be. And every single individual has that jahiliyyah within them, that their true colors truly come out. So here we find in one's character that all of us are targeted by this. And every time your character slips away from the teaching of Islam, you have followed the path of Jahiliyyah. So these are three evidences according to the Quran that Jahiliyyah exists in the Muslims. Whether these ayat are talking about the specific people at that time. But as for the implementation today, still falls true that people, they has Jahiliyyah within them. And that's why we find that the traits will always remain there. And that's why we find that even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to one of his companions, the noble companion Abu Dharr, he stated to him, وَقَالَ لِأَبِي ذَرْ إِنَّكَ إِمْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, indeed you are an individual that there is jahiliyyah inside you, there is ignorance still prevails inside you. And you read the full story about these verses or this hadith that we find, is because he said to Bilal, you are the son of a black woman. A racist statement to make. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he said, indeed you are an individual, fika jahiliyyah, inside you is still ignorance. These are great noble companions. Of years of suhba, years of companionship have existed with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet he is still finding and tuning them. And as for many of us, when people say that there is no concept of jahiliyyah, and I state once again that the jahiliyyah that exists at the moment, and these are factual evidences which have been documented about these people, that they will give preference to the disbeliever over the believer. How can it be possibly true that you claim to have tawheed within your hearts, claim to have a land of tawheed? This is nothing else but jahiliyyah, of ignorance. Likewise, we find arba'un fi ummati min amri al-jahiliyyah. There are four things from amongst my ummah which are from amongst the call of jahiliyyah. And some of these things that come to mind is the wailing and crying over the dead individual, for a woman to slap her cheeks, for a woman to rip her clothing, are all forms of jahiliyyah when people would pass away would exist at that time. Once again, that we find in certain countries and certain environments that they behave exactly like this. That upon the death of the individual, the woman would slap her cheeks, or the man would hit himself, or rip their clothing. And this is a sign of disrespect to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the one who has written down life and death, and He is the one who can take His property back whenever He wants to. So we find that the debate why this word has been used is that the Shaykh wants to highlight is the only time that we state that we are at difference with this word is when people state that the whole world is suffering from jahiliyyah, of ignorance. If a person makes that statement that the whole world is in ignorance, that is an incorrect statement to make. However, if you make the statement that there is jahiliyyah exists among some people, or exists in some countries, or exists in some nations, then this is acceptable. This is a fine distinction that we need to bear in mind. If someone says that there is total jahiliyyah in the Muslim empire at the moment, then that is an incorrect statement. Because as we find, there will always be a ta'ifa, a group which will always be successful. So if you state that the whole of the Muslim Ummah is a state of ignorance, that means you have labeled those people as being ignorant. And as we began in the beginning, that after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no concept of total ignorance. There's only partial ignorance that exists, which even exists today. So when some people want to say that you are labeling people from the use of jahiliyyah, you're trying to state that these people are kuffar, are disbelievers. No, that's not what the argument is here. Every time you go off the rail, every time you go off the track, you have followed a path of jahiliyyah. The second word that we find, which comes in common terms inside the Quran, inside the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is al-fisq. Al-fisq, lughatan al-khuruj. Al-fisq means leaving or going out. That is the linguistic meaning of fisq. Amma shar'an, as for the technical meaning, al-khuruj an ta'atillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, is leaving the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means, in general terms, meaning khuruj, just going away, going off the right path. But as far as the sharia is concerned, fisq is every time you leave the obedience of Allah and you become disobedient, you have become a fasiq. You become a rebellious individual. And that's why we find that many of the ulama have highlighted, فَيُقَالَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُرْتَقِبِ لِلْكَبِيرَ مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ فَاسِقٍ. That's why you find that sometimes the ulama highlight that if a person carries out a major sin, he is classified or she is classified as a fasiq. And we find that there are two types of fisq. One that can make you a disbeliever and one that can only label you as a disobedient individual. The first type of fisq that we find that will take you out of the fold of al-Islam, which is none other than disobedience, فَيُسَمَّى الْكَافِرْ فَاسِقًا, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the kafir as a fasiq. But the meaning that he intends, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may call him a fasiq, but it doesn't mean he's a disobedient one, it means that he is a disbeliever. The evidence of this from the Quran is when talking about Iblis, لَأْنَةُ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He rebelled from the command of his Lord. But here the meaning of rebel means فَكَفَرَ. He became a disbeliever. So this highlights that this fisq that's been rebellious, as has been mentioned about shaitan, is not that he's a disobedient one. He's a disbeliever, is the evidence from the Quran. Likewise you find,
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ.
As for those people who are the disobedient ones, meaning the kuffar, the disbelievers, they are going to the hell. Because the following highlights, كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. And every time these people want to leave the fire, it will tell them, return back inside the fire. And it said to them, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and taste you the torment of the fire, الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ, because you used to deny that fire. And these are the verses inside Surah Al-Sajdah, verse number 20. But here you find that the meaning of fasaqu, the meaning of the rebellious ones here, means those who are the disbelievers. Because the following verse continues saying, stating that they want to come out the fire, they want to come out of it, but they are kept inside there, and they are told, taste you the punishment of the fire. Likewise, you find other such verses inside the Quran. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. Is the one who is a believer like the one who is a fasiq? Now here, the meaning of fasiq here is the one who is a disbeliever. that the believer and the disbeliever can never ever be the same. The second meaning, or the second concept of fisq, is the one who is the asi, the one who is the disobedient one. So this disobedient one is not a disbeliever. So certain times you may find a person is labeled as a fasiq because he is an asi, because he is a disobedient one, or disobedient of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we find inside the Quran, the verses in Surah An-Nur in the beginning, verse number 4,
وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
Those people who blame the chaste women, the good women, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ, and then they don't come with four witnesses, فَاجْدِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا, flog them 80 times, وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا, and never ever accept their testimony, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, and these people are the rebellious ones. Here, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ does not mean that these are the kuffar, these are disbelievers, these are the disobedient individuals that you cannot accept their testimony. Like what you find in the verses talking about Hajj, in Surah Al-Baqarah, you find verse 196, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Whoever intends to perform the Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ, no obscenity, وَلَا فُسُوك, and there should be no, as many of the ulama of tafsir have highlighted, أَنَّ مَعْنَ الْفُسُوك هُنَا هُوَ الْمَعَاسِي, that there should be no disobedience whilst you are performing the Hajj. So these are two evidences from the Quran to highlight that on certain occasions, the fasiq is a disobedient one and not a kafir. Like what you find in the study of hadith, in ulum al-hadith you find, and no one should take offense to this, that some people write, some ulama would write, that such and such individual is a fasiq. Such and such person is a fasiq, is a rebellious one, because why? Because he is the one that shaves his beard. The ulama have highlighted, they would reject that person's statement, لِأَنَّهُ فَاسِقُ, because his disobedience is clear. As for in today's day and age, people don't really pay much attention to this. But the books of the fuqaha are clear, that even people who shaved will refuse to become the imam of the people, will keep them behind. But because of we live in this fiqh al-jadid, in this new fiqh of living in the contemporary world, that anybody can just stand and lead the people inside the prayer. As for the classical ulama, there were certain standings that they had, that the etiquettes, the Quran and the etiquettes, the way the person conveyed themselves, was to be taken before they became a person of authority. And you'll be very surprised when you read Mustalah al-Hadith, that if a person was even walking and eating, they would classify that individual that he was questionable. That why is he walking and eating and drinking? Meaning, how can he narrate hadith, and yet he's not a staunch follower himself of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are just mentioned as a side point, that how the classical ulama would see hadith and interpretation of hadith and the study of hadith, whereas today it has become mere academia, mere classification and memorization for some people without the real flow and the real understanding of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third terminology that we find is ad-dalal, is misguidance. And here we find ad-dalal, the meaning of it, al-udul an al-tariq al-mustaqim wa huwa ad-dud al-hidayah. It is going off the straight path. Anything that takes you off the straight path, and it is the opposite of guidance. Either you are upon huda, upon guidance, or you are upon dalal. There's no other way about it. Either you try to follow the guidance, or you are following, or you are upon the path of misguidance. مَنْ اِحْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِي وَمَنْ دَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَدِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. Whoever is guided by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ, he is guided for the good and the betterment of his own self. That is khayr for that individual, for themselves. وَمَنْ دَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَدِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. As whoever is misguided, then his misguidance is upon that individual. that he or she cannot blame nobody else except for their own selves. And we find that ad-dalal is attributed or comes in various meanings and various forms. One meaning of dalal is the meaning of kufr, of disbelief. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Here we find in Surah An-Nisa, verse 136, whoever disbelieves in Allah and His angels and His messengers and the last day, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا, has gone off on a clear or far off misguided path. Now here the meaning of dalal and here is kufr, is upon a way of disbelief. Whoever rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers and the angels, that individual, dalal here, is, comes in the meaning of that individual is a disbeliever. That's one meaning of the word dalal according to the Quran. The second meaning of it we can find is a, it carries the meaning of shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا, that an individual has gone off on a misguided path. And here we find that a person has become a mushrik, whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find that dalal comes with the meaning of al-firqu dala, a misguided group, that whereby people have beliefs to the opposite of Ahlul Sunnah. So many times the writings you find that this is firqatu dala, this is a misguided group because they are at opposition or opposite to the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, ayil mukhalafa, or going opposite to them. Also another meaning of dalal that we find inside the Quran is the meaning of a mistake, khata, to do something out of mistake. As we find Musa alayhi salam, فَعَلْتُهَا إِذًا وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. I done the action of killing that individual, of striking him, and indeed وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ, I was indeed in a state of making a mistake of committing that action. Because here we can't state that Musa alayhi salam was astray. He was not off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he done here was a mistake, whereby he committed a mistake in hitting that individual. The fifth meaning of dalal, where it can come inside the Quran, is forgetfulness. As we find inside Surah Al-Baqarah once again, verse number 282, أَنْتَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. That one woman should remind the other woman lest she forgets. So here you find antadilla carry the meaning of forgetfulness. And you find that the testimony of two women is equivalent to one man. So one woman should remind the other woman. Another meaning that we find according to the language is absence. Dallatul ibl, the lost camel. As we find some people quote this as a hadith, and this is not a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-hikma dalatul mu'min, that wisdom is the lost property. So another meaning of dal is lost, something that which is lost. And this is not a hadith, these are just words of wisdom. That wisdom belongs, is the lost property of the Muslim, and wherever he or she finds it, they have the most right to take that wisdom. The final wording that we want to concentrate upon today is ridda, is apostasy, and the various forms of apostasy. Ar-ridda lughatan ar-ruju. Yani ridda, as far as linguistics is concerned, it means to return or to turn back. As we find inside the Quran, وَلَا تَرْتَدُّ عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ, that do not turn back, turn not back in flight. أي لَا تَرْجِعُوا, meaning don't run away. And that's why you find مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ, from the major sins is to run away from the enemy, to throw your back to the enemy and run away in a state of warfare, is مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Except for a form of movement of strategy to return back and to attend and to fight again once the enemy. As for fleeing away from the enemy is a major sin as far as Islam is concerned. That would, لَا تَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ عَدُوِّكُمْ. Don't ever aspire to meet your enemy. That is the way the believer is. That you find that everybody, and he wants to make it to paradise, but nobody wants to die in a state of warfare, as even these people highlight. And the same concept is with the Muslims as well. Never ever aspire to meet the enemy. But if you do meet the enemy, fathbutu, then remain steadfast and don't ever turn back. Because then if you do turn back on the day of meeting the enemy, then that is classified as a major sin. So here we find waridda fil istilah al-fiqhi. As for the meaning of ridda, apostasy, according to the ulama al-fiqh who deal with Islamic jurisprudence, hi al-kufr ba'd al-islam. It is to become a disbeliever after Islam. It is to turn away from the teachings of Islam, to negate them, to speak ill about Islam, is the meaning of ridda, is apostasy, or the person who becomes an apostate. As we find inside the Quran, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever turns away from his religion, and he dies in that state, فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, that individual is a disbeliever. Whoever turns away from Islam and dies upon that, that individual is a disbeliever. فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. That once again is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 217. فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. All of their actions become null and void. فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Both in this world and in the hereafter, there is no reward for them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They are the companions of the fire. They will remain forever or reside inside khalidun, inside the fire of hell. So here we find that a person who turns away from Islam or negates Islam, that person is a disbeliever. As for the various forms of apostasy that we find, the first form of apostasy that we find is aridda bil qawl, is through apostasy through the use of one's words. The statements that you make could make you an apostate. كَسَبِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. To curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we find even inside the Quran as well. They don't curse their gods, because lest they turn around and they curse your God, and then you become in a state of anger. So a person should be very careful in the words that when they debate or when they talk to other people, not to curse their gods in an ill manner in front of their faces. Even though behind their backs we know that the things that they worship and the falsehood of the things that they bow down to and they prostrate to. But when you meet them, then you should be more mild and more conservative in your words, the way that you address them and the things that they worship, because lest they turn around and they curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a point, going back to the point, is anybody who curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after being a Muslim, or curses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or curses the angels, أو أحد من رسله, or curses anyone of the messengers, or calls that they have knowledge of the unseen, or knowledge of prophethood, and any individual that gives tasdeeq, testifies that that person is a true prophet, then they have committed apostasy. Amongst the most famous apostates that we find that existed amongst us or before us is Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the movement of Nation of Islam, who claimed to be a Muslim. And even those people who accept him as a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then these people are murtaddeen, or these people in essence are really disbelievers. So they may think that they are really Muslims, but because they give their allegiance to this individual and believe he's a prophet, then these people have become murtaddeen. A more clear example would be Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, that is founder of the Qadiani movement in India, which was founded in essence by the British government themselves, who claimed to be a Muslim. And then later on he claimed to be a prophet, or first he claimed to be the Messiah, etc., and various other statements that he made, till eventually he claimed to be the prophet of God. Likewise, we find Salman Rushdie, the satanic verses, is nothing else but apostasy in the words that this individual has used. And likewise, apostasy can come about in the words that you make by seeking the aid and assistance of the dead, or seeking help from somebody, from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at certain times when people are living, you can seek their assistance. And that form of istighatha is jaiz. That form of assistance is allowed. If you come to somebody and say that, give me £10, that's allowed. Because that person has the ability to give it to you. And likewise you find in the story of Musa alayhi salam. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ The person from his tribe sought his assistance. So he could aid him at that stage. The istighatha, which is muharram, the type of aid and assistance which is forbidden, is whereby that only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The causing of life and death, the birth of a child, the sending of the rain, the removing of a certain calamity or hardship, that only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot go to even a living individual or a dead individual and claim that this person can take you away or relieve the problem that you are facing. The second type of ridda that we find is a riddatu bil fi'l, is apostasy through your actions. Kas sujood lissanam, to prostrate to a statue or an idol. Was shajar wal hajar, to prostrate to a tree or a stone. Wal qubur wal dhabh laha, to prostrate in front of a grave and to slaughter or sacrifice an animal at the grave. This through your actions have highlighted there is some form of apostasy inside your actions. And many of the ulama have written that even when you go and you visit the graves, you should not make dua in front of the people. Because some juhal, some ignorant people will think that you are praying to that grave. So people of sunnah should be very careful that when ignorant people are watching them, that even though to go and visit the graves is a sunnah that we should all do. And to pray for their forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise their ranks and to forgive their sins and the shortcomings that they have. Like how they find, وَإِلْقَاءُ الْمُصْحَفِ فِي الْمَوَاتِنِ الْقَدِرَةِ, to throw the Qur'an in a dirty, filthy place. This by your action has made you an apostate. That a Muslim behaves in this manner. Let's not talk about the disbelievers who have no respect for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are stories of people whereby have been placed inside prison and whereby the prison authorities claim to be Muslims, and they throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all over the place and say, now read your book, and other such words. Like how they find, وَعَمَلُ السِّحْرِ, and the person who carries out magic has become an apostate. And how widespread this is amongst our community. People are involved inside sihr and black magic in harming other people. And anybody who goes into black magic, and that is one of the 10 things that makes you a disbeliever, as Shaykhul Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in his kitab, Nawaqidul Islam, or the 10 things which nullify your Islam. And like how define, to learn magic and to teach magic also makes you an apostate. And likewise, وَالْحُكُمْ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مُؤْتَقِدًا حِلَّهُ, to govern by other than the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe it is justified, and to believe it is halal. Anybody who believes that any other sharia is more acceptable and more just, and is allowed to govern by it above the sharia, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ الشَّخْصُ وَمُرْتَدٍ, indeed that individual is an apostate. Thirdly, we find الرِّدَّ بِالْإِعْتِقَاد, apostasy through one's belief. كَالْإِعْتِقَاد الشَّرِيكِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, to believe that there is a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is justified. Even the concept of good and bad, with some people they write, the philosophers that they write, that is the force of good and the force of evil, is associating a sharik, a partner, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how defined, أَوْ أَنَّ الزِّنَا وَالْخَمَرْ وَالْرِبَى حَلَالٍ, to believe that zina, وَالْخَمَرْ, and drinking of alcohol, and riba, and the taking of interest, is halal. Anybody who believes that, even if they don't carry it out in their life, فَهُوَ مُرْتَدْ. Bear that in mind. If a person drinks khamar, if a person commits, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that, living in this filthy environment, falls into zina, but believes it's haram, that person is under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants to, he can forgive him, if he wants to, he can punish him. But a person who never ever drinks khamar in their life, never ever fornicates in their life, never takes riba in their life, but believes it is halal, فَهُوَ مُرْتَدْ. He is an apostate, or she is an apostate, even though they did not ever carry out that action in their life. And that is a distinction that we need to bear in mind. That when some people write about Islam, and people know that in their character they don't behave in such a manner, but they make certain things halal through justification, then these people are in a very dangerous setting to make halal things haram, or to make haram things halal. Or to make something which is halal, أو أن الخبز حرام. Just out of nowhere to state, for example, bread is haram. To make statements like this, to make haram something haram without any justification. أو أن الصلاة غير واجبة. Or prayer is not a necessity. There's no obligation in offering the prayer. And you'll be surprised that those people who are known as Ahlul Qur'an or Qur'aniyun, the people who believe in just the Qur'an, they believe that you don't need to pray. Because the meaning of a salah, linguistically, is ad-du'a, is supplication. So they state, you can pray however you want to pray. Because these people reject the hadith, or reject all of the hadith, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you've seen me pray. Because they reject the hadith, they state that the meaning of salah, according to the Qur'an, is ad-du'a. Because in the Qur'an, you don't find the way that you should offer the prayer. So they state that we can pray kneeling, we can pray raising our hands, we can pray however we want to pray. And here I'm not talking about the Christians or the non-Muslims, I'm talking about a movement who claim to be Muslims, who claim to be Ahlul Qur'an, and reject their hadith, and when you say to them, why don't you offer the prayer? They say, we do, because our salah means ad-du'a, and then we offer the du'a however we want to offer it. And these people are none other than apostates who have such a belief. Like or define, anything that the ulama has concluded is halal or laid down in the sharia or something which is haram, and these people go against it, then these people have committed apostasy. The fourth type of apostasy that we find, ar-riddatu bishak, is to have doubt. To have doubt in any of those things that we mentioned before. To have doubt fi tahrim, fi tahrim al-shirk. To have doubt that shirk is haram. You'll be very surprised that Muslims will say that, why do you always talk about shirk? Let people do whatever they want to do. That's not really the message. That's not really the call or the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not really the da'wah of the Quran. So they're trying to create what? Doubt on what is the message. That the whole message of al-Islam is the message of tawheed, is the message of oneness. Secondly, we find, oh, having doubt that zina is haram, oh, khamar is haram. To doubt it, to question it, that why is this haram? Why is it being made haram? That there is something pleasurable in the taking of these things or the doing of these actions, is a form of apostasy. Like I'll define, to doubt anything that the previous prophets that they came with, أو في صدقه أو في دين الإسلام أو في صلاحيته لهذا الزمان, or to doubt that Islam is not compatible, is backward, or Islam is barbaric and not equivalent or not used as a form of judgment in the 21st century, is not an international law. That is also apostasy. Anybody who has doubt about the Sharia, and many people are living in this doubt at the moment, are forever thinking, when will the Sharia return once again? Is the Sharia barbaric? Is it barbaric? And that's why you find that many of these people, these modernists who write about al-Islam at the moment, they forever are questioning the use of Islamic law. That was at that stage, at that time, the Islamic law can no longer be implemented in the so-called 21st century or the new world at the moment. And even Muslims have made such statements, and Muslim leaders have made such statements about nullifying and saying that this Islamic law is no longer compatible in the world that we live in at the moment. Now all of these statements or these forms of apostasy that we find, Islam is a deen of justice, a deen of al-adl. the Sharia give these people, gives the apostate 3 days to repent. So if a person carries out these actions that we've highlighted, it is not for us to judge an individual. For example, a person may have prostrated in front of a sunam, in front of an idol. You cannot label that individual as an apostate until you ask them why and see clarity. Obviously, it will only be the qadi, the judge, or the alim who will state that why did you do such an action? Was there some form of force that was placed upon you? Or was you aware of what you was doing? And if the person is adamant in their statements and in their belief and the words that they have written, then they are given 3 days to repent. And then after that, the law would step in. And that's why we find many of the ulama, they highlight that during these 3 days, he is to be separated from his wealth, even though some ikhtilaf existed among some of the ulama, because some of them highlight that when his punishment has been given to him, then you can take his wealth away from him. And others highlight that during his days of apostasy, on his 3 days of time of repentance, his belonging to be taken away. The punishment of apostasy is nothing less but death. And that's why when people talk about the statement or the fatwa given by Ayatollah Khomeini upon Salman Rushdie, and people of Ahlul Sunnah highlight that the fatwa he gave upon Salman Rushdie, he should fulfill that upon himself, because his words are more severe than the satanic verses. That if you read through the works of Ayatollah Khomeini, you find that he committed apostasy many years before Salman Rushdie. So he should implement his own fatwa, because he does insult the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, and does lay great blame upon the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to the topic that we find, istitabatul murtad, that the murtad, the apostate, is given the opportunity to repent. فَإِن تَابَ وَرَجَعَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فِي خِلَالَ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامِ قُبِلَ مِنْهُ ذَلِكَ وَتُرِكَ. Yani that is accepted from him, and then he is left alone. So he's given the opportunity, or she's given the opportunity to repent within 3 days. And if they do repent, then they are left alone to do whatever they want to do. Our deen is not like the way of other religions that you do whatever you want to do. To enter into al-Islam is shahadatain, is a testimony that you take to enter into this. And likewise, that when you walk away from al-Islam and then you begin to insult Islam, we're not talking about sins, and you begin to speak ill of Islam and to turn away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you are reminded and given the opportunity to retract your statements and your actions, and you refuse to, as far as the Sharia is concerned, then it is the justification. And this is a great form of contention that these people, the Western people, have towards al-Islam. They want to highlight that you don't give people the freedom of the expression of their religion. You have freedom to do in your days of kufr whatever you want to do. But don't come into al-Islam and then return back to kufr. Because the deen of al-Islam is not a game. It's not a joke. That when you turn away from it and you begin to insult Islam and to speak ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَمْنَعُ مِنَ التَّصَرُّ فِي مَالِهِ. He is forbidden to engage in his wealth. His wealth is prevented from that individual. He cannot have any transactions or dealing with his wealth. فِي مُدَّةِ إِسْتِتَابَتِهِ. In the time period that is given to repent. فَإِنْ أَسْلَمَ فَهُوَ لَهُ. If he repents, then it's given back to him. وَإِلَّا صَارَ فَيْئًا. If he doesn't, it becomes the booty li baytil mal. It becomes the wealth of the treasury of the Muslims. When he dies, when he is slayed, then the wealth is taken to the booty. Like how defined, انقطاع التوارث بينه وبين أقاربه. There is a distinction that is made of the inheritance between himself and the members of his family. He cannot inherit, and nor can he give his wealth to another individual. It is taken away from him. So no, he cannot give any wealth to the Muslims, and nor can the Muslims inherit any wealth from him or give him any wealth, because he has become a murtad. إِذَا مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ عَلَى رِدَّتِهِ فإنه لا يغسل ولا يصلى عليه ولا يدفن في مقابر المسلمين وإنما يدفن في مقابر اليهود أو يواري في التراب في أي مكان غير مقابر المسلمين. إذا مات قتل على ردته. If this individual dies in a state of apostasy or is killed because of his apostasy, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُغَسَّلْ. This individual is not to be bathed and not to be washed, given the ritual washing of a Muslim is given. It shows a lack of respect for this individual. Is not to be washed. وَلَا يُسَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. Is not to be prayed upon, the individual who is an apostate. وَلَا يُدْفَنْ فِي مَقَابِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And is not to be buried inside the graveyard of the Muslims. Instead, he is to be buried amongst the Yahud, amongst the Jews, or يُوَارِ فِي التُرَابَ, just thrown into the ground wherever the place is found for him. فِي أَيِّ مَكَانْ غَيْرْ مَقَابِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. In any other place except for the graveyards of the Muslims. This is talking about an apostate. Some of the ulama have highlighted that the one who abandons the salah, فَهَذَا مَوْكِفْ شَيْخْ Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, is the stance of the respected Shaykh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, who stated that a person who abandons the prayer, then this is the same punishment for that individual. It's something for people to reflect upon. Person who abandons the prayer is not to be buried amongst the Muslims and not even to be prayed upon as an ibrah to teach these people and should be buried amongst the Jews and the Christians. And how many of so-called intellectual people are on a path of apostasy, and how many of the common Muslims are upon this same form of danger of having this punishment because of the abandonment of their prayers, either with knowledge or without knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand these terminologies and these words, and to stay away from the ill meaning of them, or the incorrect usage of these words and these terminologies, and not to fall under them in any stage of our life. Not to fall into fisq, not to fall into jahl or jahiliyyah, not to fall into kufr, and not to fall into falling into ridda or becoming an apostate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to stay away from that and place these words in a mizan of hasanat. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.